Throughout the early childhood years, there are opportunities for every child's potential to blossom and for a lifelong love of learning to begin. Welcome to Lilio. Our solutions for center management, family engagement, teaching and learning, and professional development have impacted countless educators, children, and families. We stand as a symbol of quality and commitment to early childhood education, with the belief that early educators have the power to change children's lives and ultimately the world. Lilio, the building blocks for high-quality childcare. Learn more at www.lilio.com.
Hey everyone, it's David Duchovny. Do you ever feel like a failure? Trust me, I get it. Hell, I've spent my whole life almost feeling like a failure. It's appropriate, though, because on Fail Better, my new podcast with Lemonada Media, exploring the world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives, is the whole point. Each week, I'll chat with artists, athletes, actors, and experts about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, I hope we can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out on May 7th, wherever you get your podcasts.
Lemonada.
I'm Kiki Monique, and this is I'm Sorry, the unapologetic show about apologies. And this week, I purchased 8 cases of seltzer because carbonated water is my healthiest vice.
Amazing. And I am Mohana Del Sheikhi, and this week, I'm back from Portland in Brooklyn, and I'm enjoying how humid it is.
And I'm Oha Lopez, and this week I am so excited because we have such an incredible guest joining us. She is a pop culture expert, the host of MTV's new competition series, Merch Masters, and everyone's TikTok BFF. She's truly taking over right now, doing it all, and I'm so excited she's here. So please welcome to the show, Teffy. Hello.
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 Hello, Teffy. So you're like TikTok's BFF. I like to also call you like the big sister. Even though I'm older than you, I feel like you're still like my big sister because I'm like, you give all of the advice I want to hear and you talk about all the things. I feel like there was, I don't know if you feel the same way, there was like this magic moment in like the summer, spring, summer of 2020 when TikTok was just like amazing. And you were one of the first accounts that like showed up on and I was like, she's everything. She's giving me the pop culture. She's giving me the advice. And I felt like there was this awesome graduating class of TikTok 2020 people. And I felt so like honored to sort of even like when you became my mutual, I was like so honored. We were in the same graduating class. I was like, wait, what?
Nobody else knew the Bravo details like I did, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what was that? The psychic with the cigarette? I do that all the time.
Allison.
Thank you. And I'm like, he doesn't emotionally fulfill you. Like, I do it all the time. And I'm like, this person just like gets it. The Housewives is a cultural phenomenon. All right. So, I had a boss once say, whatever you are, you become more of when you're wealthy. And the Housewives are such an example of that.
Oh, that's funny.
You know what I mean? So, like, if you're a dick, when you can you curse on this?
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I don't
know. Oh, yeah.
No apologies.
Thank you.
About that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So after I curse, but like if you're a dick when you are building, you know, your business, your company, your brand, whatever, when you're successful, you just become like that personified. And I feel like the women, you know, you got to give it up for Kim Zolciak. She's the same girl. She's the same. Remember when she was quitting smoking and she hid her cigarettes at the refrigerator? It's just so, you know how many times I say thank you, Papa, to people? Like,
no, there's something about those early Housewives that I feel like it captured. I don't know if we'll ever get that again because everybody knows the formula. They know what's going to happen. And yeah, those earlier Housewives, there's just nothing. You're right. They personify themselves and they just get more money and they become that 10 times fold. And it's like amazing. Like no matter whose team you may be on, like I will never deny that Kim Z, one of the greatest housewives of all time.
Would I be friends with her? Not a day in the life. Would I watch her every day? Every day of my life.
Every day.
So like when I saw you on TikTok and you were breaking down, God, I forgot what you were breaking down, but there's always a crisis.
Always. Exactly.
And I was like, this is it. I found my people. I got to stop watching these sophomores catch their boyfriend cheating because I'm looking around being like, no one's going to ask me to prom.
And I was so scared too because I thought TikTok, like I went into TikTok, mm-hmm. like I'm like, I don't do dances. Like, I mean, I don't know. And I'm like, I'm just all I can do is talk. And so when I found my community of people who were just like talkers, I'm like, this is great. This is all I want to be in. Just people who can't stop talking.
Yeah, that's me. People ask me to stop all the time. I'm like, I wish I could.
I remember because I watched the first like couple of seasons of like Real Housewives like Orange County and Ooh. Then I sort of like dropped off, but I'll tell you those seasons really sort of like permeate in my life. Like I remember like Brianna, Vicky's daughter, I remember that whole circuit, and I really don't watch Housewives as much now. But unless something really, really saucy right. pops up, and then you'll catch me on the greatest hits.
Right.
But I remember, like, at that time, like, The Hills was coming up. OC had just been done. So, like, there was this lore around Orange County and around that space. So it was just an amazing time for that particular show to pop up. Also, like, My Sweet 16. Like, there was, like, rich people being bad on TV.
Yeah.
It was, like, the for me, like, a golden era. Because we were past, like, all the shitty MTV shows. And we got into, like, the reckoning. Like, the beginning of this craze. And it is super impressive to me. The stay power that these shows have and the expansion. It's insane.
I just love that you said My Sweet 16. Truly that show was something.
Tayana Taylor.
Yes.
That's how we met Tayana Taylor.
Yes.
Amazing.
There was so many people on, so many celebs and stuff like that, and just seeing those kids, what they asked for and all of that stuff, I was just like, I never want to be that. I actually don't want to be invited to those parties, but it's very fun to watch.
Well, during that time, one, Vicky's love tank was empty. All right. And yes. then two, everybody was, I call it the Paris Hilton effect. We were obsessed with the rich, thin, mean blonde girl. So if you look throughout, like even Mean Girls, like all of that stuff, like the mean girl was that always came from like this huge house and this privileged life. Like that is the Paris Hilton effect. Like when in My Sweet 16, when the girl was like, this isn't the Range Rover that I want.
Golden. Like,
no,
that is
shame.
Iconic.
Or when the girl's handing out invitations to her party, she's like, give me back the invitation, not invited anymore. That was in Miami.
I know.
I was in Miami. I was like, I know.
Wait, I saw that girl on TikTok recently. Like, someone asked about her.
Yes. I know her by name. I love her. I love her. But that time, like that bratty behavior, it was almost like it was part of the privileged persona that we were like obsessing over. And it's the Paris Hilton effect. Absolutely. The way that Paris Hilton like curated pop culture to surround her is insane to me. And she didn't even ask for it, really. She was just kind of fucking doing her own thing.
Yeah.
You know?
It's the only way that kind of shit pops up. It always happens organically. It's always somebody being like full on them crazy selves. Because even if people try to curate it, I never feel like that effect can be like truly doubled. Like you can never copy that fully.
No, go on.
You polite bitch. You go.
Fuck these manners.
You are the goddamn yes, Teffy.
Well, I was going to say, like, her behavior, if she was a middle-class kid or even, like, coming from a low-income family, it would be seen as trashy.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But because she was rich, it was privileged and edgy. Because let me tell you something. She wasn't the only one smoking and going out. I was trying to do my Paris Hilton shit, too. And I'm like, why is everybody treating me a little differently?
Yeah, it felt a lot different when I was in my 84 Escort. Like, nobody was like...
A and only now that we appreciate humanizing people. Like, I always tell people, like, we had no idea who Britney Spears was singing about when she sang Toxic. We have no idea who Christina Aguilera, well, we have some idea. We have no idea who Christina Aguilera was talking about when she did her album Stripped. But we didn't need, like, specifics. Now we need all these specifics, like Ariana Grande having a whole song called Pete Davidson. So with this need of, like, humanizing people all the time where we can maybe feel bad for them in a way, Paris Hilton needed to come out and tell us the worst trauma of her life. You know what I mean? On a international streaming service, excuse me. So that was in order for her to kind of, like, have a comeback and people like, oh, you know what? You know, it's almost like in order to be relevant, people need to feel like they can help you.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Back then you had to be untouchable.
It's such a good point too, because I was actually just listening, like, you know, Meghan Markle came out with her new podcast, like, mm-hmm. yesterday, and I was listening to it, and I remember, like, in the beginning it was like her and Serena talking, and there was a moment where I was like, ah, oh, like, I feel like it's two rich women talking and I can't relate to them, but I was like, but I still love them and I don't care. And I think that is the side of me where it's like, I don't care, but I want you to relate to me. Why do I crave that from them? I need that.
Yeah, I was listening to this podcast. I'm not going to say whose, but this woman was like, I'm just at the place in my life where if you care about yourself, you will find a way to budget and get a nutritionist. I was like, never in my fucking life. Are you out of your fucking mind? I have to pay health insurance. Yeah. I'm going to pay somebody to tell me what to eat. You eat the fucking salad, eat the bread, go to sleep, drink water, have a little bit of dessert. Don't overdo. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to be normal. I'm not going to pay you to tell me I'm a piece of shit.
I can do that all by myself. Exactly. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Please. If my mom heard me on that podcast, she'd call me and she'd say, what's it like being embarrassing? Is it nice?
I know.
Now it's like, I'm wondering if I'm craving a little bit, because, like, now we've kind of, like, gone 180. Mm-hmm. Like, now I actually think I'm missing some of those reality
shows. I would like
shows.
To know them less. Yes, I would like to know
exactly.
them less.
Like, can we bring back some of these, like, old school reality shows where it does feel like, I was actually thinking the other day about, like, even just Pimp My Ride, because I was like, I would even love to just meet the people, like, 10 years, like, what happened 10 years after you had an aquarium and a cappuccino maker put in your trunk? Like,
it exploded. You,
they literally did, I think they did a follow-up maybe with, like, 3 or 4 people, and all of them, they had their car ruined. They, either accidents or they're just like, yeah, you know what? I never used that pool table that is in my car.
And they were like, we wanted leather seats.
Exactly.
You're like, nope, still got cloth.
He's like, guess what? You've always liked koi fish? Check out the wheels. And then, like, 2 years later, there's, like, dead koi fish. It's just constantly hitting pavement.
The smell is putting everyone off in the neighborhood. They haven't been able to date in 5 years. It's, yeah.
Exactly. It's so funny because, like, not everything I like has to be on my car. They're like, you said you love pancakes? Well, we drew a big pancake on your... I'm like, no, that's embarrassing. I cannot drive around with this. They're like, well... Yeah. It's what you got.
And it looks like a butthole. I get it.
100%. You know what's so crazy, too, about that time is I think of, like, because we didn't have those words then. We didn't know that they were, like, we understood privilege, but we just didn't understand how we get it now.
I thought you meant butthole. I was like...
No, people have had a strong, deep understanding of buttholes. I think for a millennia, maybe. Mm-hmm. I think we've got a strong grasp. Although I will say, the age of the butthole is still alive. I feel like
We're sunning them. We're doing perineum, you know, sunning now to get, you know, feel better, get mood boosting. Yeah.
Yeah, but there were buttholes, and then there were privileged buttholes. And you're right.
That's right. True. Thank you. And bring it back full circle. Like buttholes. there is some, like, we didn't have the language that we have now. And so it's almost like, I don't know, like asking a bunch of toddlers to look at something and, like, dissect it. Like, we could only do it from the perspective that we had at that point.
Yeah.
But looking back, cringe, baby. Not only cringe, but like oha cringe, me cringing at myself at, like, what I thought was cool and what I thought was fun versus what I think is cool and fun now. Very different.
Oh God. Why didn't I wear sunscreen? So I wish somebody told me, you know, it's cool. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of SPF?
No, yes. Baby, we were burning up in burning. The 90s and in the early 2000s. I was full face to the sun. I was trumping. I was like, is the eclipse full on my face?
My mom would suntan with iodine.
Oh my God. We're killing ourselves. This is what was happening. Oh, yeah.
I remember I used to buy like compacts from the drugstore that had Noxzema in it. Oh. Like Noxzema in my powder. Like, I don't even know like if that's supposed to be.
And you've lived to tell the tale.
I lived to tell.
That is insane. I remember as a kid when I was getting like my prepubescent pimples or whatever, since it was clearing my acne, I tried to put out my front teeth Noxzema to whiten my teeth. You know, and I still can't remember the number 9. So I'm so not saying that.
Throughout the early childhood years, there are opportunities for every child's potential to blossom, for curiosity to spark, and for a lifelong love of learning to begin. Welcome to Lilio. We develop innovative tools that revolutionize the connection between daycare centers and families and help empower educators, enabling them to nurture young minds and build strong bonds. Through our solutions for center management, family engagement, and teaching and learning, plus professional development through Lilio Academy, where educators can earn continuing education credits at their own pace, we've impacted countless educators, children, and families. We stand as a symbol of quality and commitment to early childhood education, with the belief that early childhood educators have the power to change children's lives and ultimately the world. Join us in nurturing the future. Welcome to Lilio, the building blocks for high-quality childcare. Learn more at www.lilio.com.
Do you ever get hit with a cringy memory of your 13-year-old self out of nowhere and suddenly you're panic sweating and laughing at the same time? Don't worry. We all get that. It's because being an adolescent is one of the most visceral shared experiences we have as people. And we want to talk about it. Join me, Penn Badgley, and my two friends, Nava and Sophie, on Podcrushed as we interview celebrity guests about the joys and horrors of being a teenager and how those moments made them who they are today. New episodes of Podcrushed are out now, wherever you get your podcasts.
We were talking about this because this is sort of the same time, maybe a little bit later, when like Jen and Ben got together initially, because this is like J-Lo time.
1999?
Yes. I am like obsessed with J-Lo, even from Venezuela. Like this mm-hmm. is... Because we don't have a lot of like
who
crossover.
Else did we have? Salma?
We had Salma. We had Selena, but Selena wasn't like global. Mm-hmm. Like really J-Lo was the only like big Latino artist. And so now that Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez are like getting married again, I feel like I'm having like flashbacks to 1999 and to the early 2000s. And honestly, I'm loving it. I loved that time in my life. So I'm happy. What about you guys?
I was in eighth grade. The world was my oyster. I was knee deep, balls deep in Hollister, and I couldn't get enough of it. I smelled like American musk.
Yes.
All right. And I would give anything to live on Laguna Beach. I was pretending to like California.
Here we come.
I know. So I was like watching this show and I was like, fuck, I can't relate to a single fucking thing. Like this guy came from juvie, like in the OC. This guy came from juvie. This other person is a billionaire. Where are the bitches in the middle? Like, come on. So I think it was a really hard time for people that did not look like those kids on TV.
Yeah.
So J-Lo, for a lot of us, were like, she has boobs. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and I remember many people growing up would call her big, curvy. And I look now and I'm like, she has a fucking 8-pack, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
we were like, she is so thick. And I'm like, it's because we were obsessed with like 13-year-old Scandinavian girls, you know?
Yeah.
Like, her booty is perfection, but we thought it was the biggest booty in the world. When I saw her,
we said it was the fattest ass in the world. We said it was the fattest ass in the world.
So funny. Meanwhile, I'm like defying reality with a fatter ass at 14. And I'm like, they're telling me that she has the fattest ass, but I literally have proof behind me that that's not true.
Someone donate me to science, because I
am a fucking freak then.
No, it was incredible. I mean, looking back at those videos, that she, first of all, crazy in love with Beyonce. She's 21. That's insane.
Wild.
And it also makes me want to throw up. And then, because at 21, I was applying to pimp my ride. Like, we were in different... We were in different scenarios. And then J-Lo was 30. So when she got arrested with P. Diddy and spent the night over in jail, she's maybe 30. She was my age. She's 32. She was not a youngin. So when people look at her and they're like, she's 50, I'm like, she's been in the game for 20 years. Mm-hmm. The fact that Beyonce is younger than her and has been in the game for longer is crazy to me.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So when I think about her career and being with Diddy and like getting arrested, if she was younger, it would be like, she's fine or whatever. But being 32, I was like, girl, you fucked up. I don't know if you can come back. You got arrested in Times Square. That's crazy.
In a white bandana?
Yeah.
In a white fur.
In a white fur.
It's true. Which is baller. One of the biggest things, one of the biggest, like, moments in my life was Kamora Lee Simmons DMing me. I'm wearing baby fur right now by accident.
I love Kamora Lee Simmons. I watched that reality show religiously.
I just saw her today talking about maybe doing Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And I was like,
give
yes,
both
please.
Kidneys. I would give a cornea, whatever you need. Because of her, I've dreamed about bathing my feet in champagne. I will never forget.
We should do that, actually. That sounds like a wonderful pedicure. Yes,
yeah, but I want to drink it. I want to drink it if I'm buying it.
But before, not after. Just before, not after, right?
To clarify.
Wait, can we know what the DM said?
Oh, yeah, I wore baby fat, and she sent me, baby fat sent me the puffer jacket with the with the furry hood.
Oh, my God.
And I lost my mind.
Yes.
And I lost my mind.
Anyone would.
And she said, oh, you look so cute, or like, you look great, or whatever, or something. And I said, there are certain people that, like, I refuse to be cool for. There are certain people that I feel like... I'm not going to be cool with Kamora Lee Simmons. I don't want her to be my friend. I want her to know that I'm a fan, you know, like I'm a fucking fan. If she wants to be friends, am I going to decline? Absolutely not. Bring out the tub of champagne. Let's stick our little toesies in.
I think that's so that's so important because you want, you love these people and the idea of being friends is like, but like, I still want people to always like, I love you. I fangirl over you. And like, you don't need to know my deepest, darkest secrets for me to we don't need to be close like that. I just need to know that I love you and you love me. Great. That's all we need to have.
Dolly, don't tell me a thing about you. I love Dolly Parton so much.
Yeah.
You kidding me?
Yeah. I would say probably mine is like J-Lo and Shakira are my two. I would say probably Shakira more than J-Lo because I like literally had album like Shakira's albums ever since I was like in the fourth grade.
The cassette.
Talk about, yes, the cassette. Like talk about somebody who's been in the business for a long fucking time. Like that Super Bowl performance with J-Lo and Shakira, I was weeping from the beginning to the very end.
Yeah, I was weeping.
Could not stop crying. And after I saw that, the J-Lo doc where she was like, I could have been by myself. I was like, yes, you're right. They could have both done those halftime shows by themselves. But I was happy they did it together. I got both of my favorite girls in one go.
Yeah, and then Pitbull came out and I was like, Armando, get out the fucking stage, dude.
What are you doing?
Armando, please, let us have one fucking thing.
Well, you gotta be in everything.
I love you. Like, Jesus. Well, I worked for a celebrity stylist for many years. I was like my first big girl job and I was her assistant. And she became big because she styled the Donde Están Los Ladrones CD cover. with the black paint on the hands.
Oh my god. She did that. And the dark eyeliner and the pink and the red and the like sort of like faux dreads.
Yeah, that was my boss. Oh, so sometimes Shakira would call the office and I'd pick up and I'd go, hi, and she goes, hola, está Irma. And I'd be like, yes. You know, but they have a great relationship. And she also, I got to meet Paulina Rubio, like a bunch of people. Thalia, who's married to Tony Mottola, who was married to Mariah Carey, who left him and he got really mad. So he found the next big thing that was going to replace Mariah Carey, and that was J-Lo. So it's crazy.
Yeah. No, I love that. And I look, the J-Lo and Mariah Carey, like their whole like acting like they don't know each other, or at least Mariah acting like she's, it's my favorite beef that doesn't exist. It's not real beef, but it's just beef that like we as the viewers watch. It's my favorite. But
yeah, I feel like looking back, she just didn't want to comment.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
She just didn't want to comment. And they were like, okay, I think we're gonna make this a meme.
Yeah. Which not commenting is unacceptable at this point in the world. I mean, not to me. You cannot comment forever. But it does feel like the no comment, it almost like adds another month to the fire. Yeah.
If somebody said, do you like J-Lo's music? And I said, no comment.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
It's like, we know what that means.
It's like in court. It's not bad. Yeah. It's like in court when you say plead the fifth, it's just like, okay, you did something bad. You have something. Yeah.
Like, I'd rather you just say, no, it's that bad. You don't even want to talk about it. That's crazy.
How are you guys feeling? Just to go back to my girl J-Lo, how are you guys feeling about the Bennifer like 2.0? What's going on in your brain?
I love it.
If it's PR, I'm loving the show. I'm not going to change a channel.
I just felt like they didn't get a fair shake that first time. I really feel like, you know, Ben was getting like outside pressure and like she was feeling insecure in like ways of being with him. And I just felt like they just didn't get a fair shake. And I'm actually glad they're like getting to do it like definitely on her terms now. Like that's how it should have been from the beginning. And I don't know. I enjoy that so much.
I don't know why that people are so obsessed with Ben Affleck's mom. I've never seen a picture of her. But the first thing that they always talk about is like, Ben Affleck's mother loves her. Ben Affleck's mother hates her. Like, I always hear this about people that he's with. Oh, Ben Affleck's mother is very concerned. I'm like, who is this woman?
I literally didn't see her until she fell off the dock at the wedding in Georgia.
That's right. I saw that.
And that was the first time I saw her.
By the way, that sounds like a song. She fell off the dock.
And literally.
There's something there. Continue.
Yeah, she fell off the dock. And then that's when we also discovered her name is Christopher. Like, oh, not yeah. only mm-hmm. did we see her face for the first time, I was like,
we're just getting to know the Afflecks now.
Yeah, just like, getting to know them.
But I feel like in 2003, though, the thing that gets me is we always talk about how paparazzi was so awful when paparazzi is just as bad right now. I just think that we need to feel better about right now. Like in 10 years, we'll be like, can you believe how awful the paparazzi were? Like, yes, I can believe it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So with the paparazzi back then, I think that maybe they started out wanting to be public. Like Julia Roberts and Benjamin Bratt, they had no problem sharing everything, but it kind of like, especially if you're internet facing now, you give a little bit. And then people are still in my DMs asking about stuff that I brought up like years ago. Like I got scammed one time on Etsy for press on nails. They won't let it go. they want me to say it. I won't say it. They know I got scammed. They know I didn't fucking arrive. It's a beautiful set for £1.50. I should have fucking known.
Yeah. Well, those people clearly need some life advice, as do several mm-hmm. of your followers who we reached out to. And they knew you were going to be on the show. And they love, obviously, you, their BFF. They're like,
if it's astrology, I'm going to lose it.
Oh, my God. Well, we didn't even get into astrology. I feel like you guide your life by astrology as much as I do. Mm-hmm, but, you know, they had some questions. It was relationship advice. And so they were hoping you can help them out. We have a few questions. The first question was,
dump him.
My boyfriend. That's probably going to be the answer. Exactly. My boyfriend mm-hmm. has a girl best friend. She's the only girl in the guy group and doesn't know boundaries. She's had issues with the other girlfriends of the group. What should I do?
Okay, so first and foremost, I know there's a lot of like jokey jokes about us having friends of the opposite sex. And I have a lot of wonderful friends of the opposite sex that have never tried to enter me. And I love that. All right. And they are really, really kind. And we've known each other for many years. And of course, they begin dating. It has never been an issue for me. Because as a girl that's a friend of theirs, I want her to make sure, I want her to know that if he were to ever fuck up, I'm a woman first. You know what I mean? Like I'm calling and I'm like, I love Sam Smith so much, but you know, I'm your girl, you know? And so that's something that I make really, really known first and foremost. If the girl best friend doesn't do that, that's a red flag for me. So whenever you want somebody to do something that's in your favor, I make it as though it works in their benefit. So I would try to have like lunch and coffee together and I would try to listen to her about her dating advice. And I would say, you know, my boyfriend, Bob, really wants us to be close. And I think you dress so cool. Like pretend, be a fan for a minute. Okay. What is it? You got to swallow your pride for a little bit for the sake of peace. But at the same time, you have to know that if this bitch tries anything, she can never say anything bad about you. You did everything that you could. You tried to be her friend. You were always kind. And when I have to walk away from something or I look at somebody, I've always been in the position where I can say, I never fucked with you. Mm-hmm. I never fucked with you and I gave you the opportunity to be friends with me because I'm a good friend. But now, not only did you lose me, but this is obviously going to affect your relationship with my boyfriend. Sorry to say. I don't know what delusional planet you live in, but I give it up. So
I love that because I will say as someone who is perpetually single and does have a lot of guy friends, like I do appreciate when the girl makes the effort to get to know me and wants to have a relationship with me and like kisses my ass a little bit because like at the end of the day, I was here first. So like make me feel like that. Make me feel
there
this is important.
No the idea of competition. I truly, like, I have to, if you are a friend that is in love with your guy best friend who has a girlfriend, I have to tell you, it is not right person, wrong time. If they wanted to, they would have been with you already. I don't care if you fooled around in the past, if you kissed one time in college, if they wanted to fool around with you, you think men know boundary? You think he would say, I want to preserve our friendship? Are you out of your fucking mind? Absolutely not.
So true. It's so true. If you're hanging around thinking he is going to see you one day, no, hon, he's seen you and he didn't want to be with you. So yeah.
And you might as well get a new girlfriend out of it. That's what I see. You know, I see that. But I do feel really, really bad for the girls that do let the girl best friend in and they fuck them over. And it's, yeah. But it's never successfully. It's because they see texts, they see Snapchats. They see emails, they overhear a conversation of them being like, I don't like her. It's never the guy really fucking around. It's the girl kind of pulling. So do yourself a favor. And if the girl best friend has no boundaries, meet her and meet her as a girl and just be like, well, if you were me, how would you feel? That's it. And if she can't meet you in the middle, that's not your fucking problem. Let her ruin her friendship. That's not your fucking problem. Get out of here. We have enough problems. Absolutely. That's it.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. After season one aired, I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. And of course, my 90-year-old mom, Judy. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me Season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
Hi, I'm June Diane Raphael.
And I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And each week we are sitting down to talk all about life's twists, turns, and absurdities on The Deep Dive.
From exploring the depths of TikTok, which is our only news source, to navigating the complexities of grief and loss, we are just two best friends behind a mic processing life together.
This podcast is all about finding the silver linings in the madness. So get ready for unfiltered conversations about motherhood, careers, pop culture, and everything in between. Here at The Deep Dive, we're all about community. We believe in the power of sharing experiences and the strength that comes from supporting one another. And we would love to have you with us. So be sure to join us every Wednesday on The Deep Dive from Lemonada Media, wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, we have one more, which is a really interesting one. Long distance relationships. And I need this one actually for myself because I just moved to California from Brooklyn and I still love Brooklyn men. And like, I can't find
you love here, Brooklyn men.
I love Brooklyn men. I do. And I'm like, I can't find men in LA. But like, I realized if I still lived in New York, I could probably date a man in Miami because even though it's the same length of a flight of New York to LA, it's the same time zone. Mm-hmm. I don't think I could cross time zones, California, LA. I don't know. What is your advice for long distance relationships?
I personally have seen so many successful ones, right? I know one person that has been dating a man since college. She's my age. He lived in Amsterdam or Copenhagen. I forget.
Wow.
And she was in Kansas and they met when he came over as a foreign exchange student for like a year. And when he left, they maintained their exclusive relationship.
Holy shit.
What? But she told me, she was like, it not only is it an investment of time and energy, it's money. You got to fucking see each other. So, I've tried doing long distance stuff. My love language just does not meet up. And I don't need people like that. Like, I think people assume that because I'm a Cancer, I'm needy or whatever. I am a Virgo rising through and fucking through.
Yes. Let me go.
I'll
see you in 2 months. Yes.
I'm not cheating on you. I'm trying to make money. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm constantly looking at everything as an opportunity. How can I get organized? My house is a fucking mess, but my finances, like, let me, you know? And if I'm not working, I'm trying to come up with ideas. I'm trying to do research on stuff that I can do, whatever. I'm trying to have meetings, or I'm trying to have a wine with my girlfriend. So sometimes I'm very much someone who's also present and I need touch and quality time. FaceTiming doesn't do it for me. So if you're going to get into a long distance relationship, first and foremost, you got to say your expectation. Because if I had that conversation, this guy was so fucking annoying though. He was like always fucking FaceTiming me in public. Like I would be in the security line at the airport. He wanted to FaceTime me. And I'd be like, why? And he goes, just answer. Who cares? I'm like, I care. On a phone, they can hear my side of the story, which is already horrifying. On FaceTime, they can hear both. Get the fuck out of here. So I was like, just text me, you know? And he loved FaceTime. So he would be, and I have a project manager, an assistant, and a manager that have access to my account. So God forbid if I'm on a plane, have a family emergency and something needs to be posted, they'll do it. And there were a few times when this person would call me and I would be in a meeting and I would silence it and somebody would post something for me on social media and he would say, you know, oh, you think never fucking mind then. I guess social media is more important. First of all, yes, it is. Yes, it is.
It's paying my bills. Yeah, exactly.
It's my job. So, yeah.
But not only that, like you don't, if you care about what I do with my phone, pay the fucking phone bill. Fuck you. You know, but I pay that. Okay. And that was very hard for my mother to tell me that I was off a family plan. I don't even want to talk about it.
I'm telling you, 26 was a hard age. No insurance and no phone plan. I was not having it.
What? I'm Googling Cobra. No. No. But so when it comes to long distance, I think expectation and love language is first and foremost. And then you can be honest if you can meet it. Because if you really like this person and you want to make it work, but you're not a good morning texter, I looked at myself and I said, you know what? I don't need a good morning text. And he's like, I do. And I said, I don't think it's going to work out because you're very needy. And this person deserves to be with someone that has the same love language as they do. And I deserve to be left alone to make money. So that's like, where long distance for me is like, if you know how to still connect with one another with that distance. And my manager is in a 3-year relationship where he lives in Barcelona and she lives in Napa.
Wow.
So they see each other once a month and they trade off. And that is a lot of fucking money. Yeah. That's an investment. That's 11 hours in economy. That's love, babe.
You actually changed my mind because I actually thought I couldn't do long distance relationship. But now that you're saying it, if I lay out my expectations and like
yeah.
what I want, I don't want to clean my room all the time. So actually someone 11 hours away that I could just talk through
a, yeah. a,
and they don't have to see my messy room, that might actually work better for me.
Or some people are better at connecting like that. Like maybe one-on-one in person isn't for you. Maybe people do grow closer through FaceTime and text and all that. And maybe you need that excitement. Like my manager used to tell me, I love the excitement of going to see him. It, and the missing him makes it so exciting for us. And it works for us because we're both very busy. That's another thing. You got to date people who are busy like you are. I don't care mm-hmm. if it's on the busy scale, because when people have small lives, small things are huge. So like when little things happen, like if you're at the bar and you tell your long distance boyfriend like, oh, so-and-so hit on me and they get fucking infuriated. I'm like, first of all, I live in a society. I've been getting hit on since I was 14.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the fuck you want from me. And two, and or a person once told me like, you need to call that person and tell them to respect the boundaries in our relationship. And I said, I'm absolutely not doing that.
Yeah, absolutely not.
No.
What do people are out here expecting crazy shit in the world. That doesn't
I'm not
make
your
any
fucking
sense.
Wife.
I know. You're crazy. I know. People get that. Yeah, people get a lot of bad advice from those YouTube men, you know, who.
The alphas?
The pickup artists?
Yeah, the alphas who are just like, yeah, this is what you should ask and this is what you should expect. And then it never works out. And I'm just like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I thought that was going to work out. Amazing.
No, they're like, step number one, tell her she has fucked up teeth. Like, I don't.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't get it.
Well, Mohanad, I think it's your favorite.
Yeah.
Your favorite segment of the day.
Yeah, favorite and last segment, which is we do Sorry Not Sorry, where we either apologize to someone or ask for an apology. And I'm going to start with Doha, like we do every week.
Yes. I would like an apology from my friend Kim, who's vegan. Not because she's vegan, but... That's not something she necessarily needs to apologize for. But we go out to eat a lot, you guys, right? And guess who has to go eat vegan food every single time we go out? I do. Yeah. And whilst I love vegan options, your girl is also paying good money to go to a restaurant, right? So sometimes I just want a little chicken. I just want some salmon. I want a round steak. I want something that has meat in it. And my friend will not go to a restaurant that sells meat, even if they have side options that she could choose from.
Oh, I see.
And so I'm at a stopping point with this friend, and I just have to learn my lesson, and I have to know that she's just not somebody I can go out to eat with anymore. Maybe once every couple months or something like that, but she can't be. Like she can't be that girl for me, you know, and it's a hard lesson I'm having to learn. But if you ain't flexible, we're
come
not getting
on,
anywhere.
Yeah. Come
have
on.
Some French fries next week, or just I know is that rude?
Maybe no,
no, it's not.
No,
thank you. Yeah, I would like an apology from Kim. She knows who she is.
You know who you are.
Yeah, you know who you are. You Kim.
Bitch. Yes.
Okay, Kiki, what's happening with you this week?
Honestly, I just need an apology from the airline industry as a whole. Like I've been trying to find flights back to New York, and like I don't know when it became like a trip to Europe just to like go across the country.
It is.
Like yeah.
It's more expensive.
I just want to go home. Yeah, I just want to go home and see some people, and it's
not
impossible.
Not asking for much.
Yeah, and I know fuel prices are. Hi, there seem to be coming down. Chicken wing prices have come down. Prices seem to be coming down a little bit.
They are, yeah.
But not airline prices.
No, they like where they're at. Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, you accepted this. We can live with this now.
Exactly.
And we're going to give you a middle seat in the last row for $2,000.
Okay, for $2,000. Here's 45G. Like, horrible. God.
Well, our guests are going to ask you, who do you want to apologize for?
I'd like to apologize to my mother, because yesterday I was swamped, and I sometimes like will skim a text, and she is someone who, like, if she sends me a selfie of her and her friends, I'm like, oh my God, I love Stacey's shoes. She's like, you're not going to tell me I'm pretty? Like, she's like that, right? And good for her. And yeah. So she's someone, like, she needs you to read it and she needs you to acknowledge, okay? And yesterday I was typing something up, sending an urgent email and, like, getting ready to do an something else. And I see that she WhatsApped me and she said an update about her flight and what she ate and that she was waiting to go into a meeting. And I said, that's great, Mom. And then I see her text me back and she goes, that's great? Really? And I go, yeah, that's great. She goes, excuse me? And I reread the message and she's telling me how she bit into something and she chipped half her tooth. Oh. And I was like, I am so sorry. Oh my God. And she was like, este Fania, no te da vergüenza, no te da pena. No. And I was like, aren't you embarrassed? Aren't you full of shame that you don't even pay attention to your mother? And I'm like, yes, I am embarrassed. So I'd like to say sorry to my mom that she chipped her tooth. But yeah, maybe next time I'll read the text message and I'll answer the way that you want. She wanted me to fly over there probably and glue it on. Absolutely.
Well,
not.
Yeah, that's what she really wanted.
That's what she wanted.
Oh my God.
She wanted me to be like, like that.
It reminds me of that time I posted a picture of myself, in a place, like right after my grandma passed away. Mm-hmm. And this guy posted, you look stunning. And I was like, no, honey, no, read the room. This, if you read the caption, it's about how my grandmother died. So, King, we gotta read it.
I
we
love gotta read when it. People do that. Yeah,
I would have responded, "Thank you, my grandmother would have loved that."
Yeah, she would have. Thank you.
Oh my God.
Well, I'm gonna end with this, but I'm demanding an apology also from airlines because I was just traveling, And on my way to Portland, it was a 6-hour flight. My flight was the coldest flight you can ever imagine.
I hate that.
And I was wearing a t-shirt the whole, and I was, you know, I didn't like have a hoodie or anything. And I just froze for 6 hours. It was bad. And I hated it. And then on the way back, I was like, you know what? It's not going to happen again. I'm going to get one of those, like, you know, plane blankets.
Okay.
It's the same airline, same trip, same everything, just the opposite. I get in, I put the blanket on, and one of the hottest flights I've ever been in. And I'm just like, why are you fucking with me right now? Like, why? Did you see the blanket that I bought? Is that why we're doing this? It was so hot. Yeah. Like, I literally was just like, can I take my t-shirt off at this point? What's happening?
Fuck.
Yeah. They're like, get a load of this guy. Get a load of this guy. Oh, you want a blanket?
Exactly.
Teffy, thank you so much for joining us. Everyone can find, I mean, they should already be following you at Hello Teffy. Oh, you're like TikTok's BFF. You do, I say I do deep dives, but like you put my deep dives to shame. Like,
no,
you
you're do deep the diving. Deepest. You're deep diving. I just have to talk about that food that she ate in 2007. Don't worry about it.
You do the best deep dives. Follow, watch your new show, Merch Masters on MTV. Amazing. You have a show on MTV. I love it. You're everything. You're everything we want to be. And thank you for joining us.
Oh my God, you guys are angels. Thank you so much.
Bye, Teffy. Thank you.
I'm Sorry is a Lemonada Media original. The show is produced by Alex McCohen. Supervising producer is Chrissy Pease. Our executive producers are Stephanie Whittles-Wax and Jessica Cordova Kramer. Our mix is by Kat Yore, and theme music was composed by Xander Singh. If you like this show, please rate and review. And please don't cancel us. You can find out more about our show at Lemonada Media on all social platforms or follow us on Instagram at @I'mSorry_podcast. We'll be back next week. And until then, be nice, play fair, and always say, I'm sorry. Thanks for listening.
Do you ever get hit with a cringy memory of your 13-year-old self out of nowhere? And suddenly you're panic sweating, you're laughing, and maybe a little bit of tears are coming all at once. Don't worry. We all do. That's because being an adolescent is one of the most visceral shared experiences we have as people. And we want to talk about it. So join me, Penn Badgley, and my two friends, Nava and Sophie, on Podcrushed as we interview celebrity guests about the joys and horrors of being a teenager and how those moments made them who they are today. New episodes of Podcrushed are out now. You can listen ad-free on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcasts.
Freedom! Hi, I'm Paul F. Tompkins.
I'm Lauren Lapkus.
And I'm Scott Aukerman, and together we make up the show
Freedom!
We're comedians from Los Angeles who are also friends.
Yeah, that's weird, isn't it? And on our podcast, we just chat with each other, have fun, play games. It's just a good hang.
We just talk about everything that's happened in our lives ever before and up to now and what will happen next.
We see the future.
So the new season's out now. You can get it wherever you get your podcasts.
Wherever you get them.
Wherever.
Listen.
Wherever.
Bye.
Freedom!